2 Kings chapter 14, and we're going to start from verse 1.
In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. And it came to pass, as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants which had slain the king his father.
Okay, now, as you know, Joash was the king. And his son's name is Amaziah. Now, as we know, that Amaziah's father was killed by his two servants. We already learned last week, but they repeated this here. What happened now when Amaziah became a king? He first killed his servants who killed his father. Let's read the verse 6.
But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
Now this man did not kill those servants' children or his family members, because from this we know this man has to be religious or knew the Bible, because he says God doesn't want somebody's doing the crime and their children or grandchildren should be killed, because Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 16 says so. Please read.
The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
So God did not want, if somebody does something wrong, so that person should be put to death, not his father or not his children. Because book of Ezekiel also says, chapter 18, verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So this man, king, did not kill this servant's children or anybody else. And he said, the Bible says so, so I'm not going to do it. And so he did not kill the children or any other family members. So God blessed him for that. And then what he did, he had a war with the Edomic people, and he defeated them. Let's read the verse 7.
He slew of Edom in the Valley of Salt 10,000, and took Selah by war, and called the name of it Jokthiel unto this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us look one another in the face. And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle.
Now, this is a little bit difficult to understand, but what happened here? Amaziah defeated the Edomite people, killed almost 10,000 people. So he thought, Israeli king giving us hard time, fighting with us, this is a good time to defeat the king of Israel. So he said to him, come face to face and let us fight and see who is strong, something like that. But the king of Israel was a little bit smarter. He gave an example. He says, there is a jungle and there is a cedar tree and there is a thistle. Now thistle, comparing to cedar tree, thistle is nothing. But he said, that thistle is saying to cedar tree, give me your daughter to marry. And then he says, there is a wild beast came and just stepped on that thistle and it's finished. So he's trying to say, you are a thistle. I am a big tree. And so, according to what he was saying, Israeli people had 10 tribes. Judah had only 2 tribes. So comparing to that, the Israeli people have more armies. They can destroy the Judah's army. They should be friendly. They should not be fighting with each other. But somehow this Amaziah, the king of Judah, gave challenge to king of Israel, come and meet me face to face. And this man says, listen, you became a little bit proud because you defeated this Edomic people. Let's read the verse 10.
Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart hath lifted thee up. Glory of this, and to tarry at home, for why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt that thou shouldest fall, even thou, into Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, therefore Jehoash king of Israel went up, and he and Amaziah king of Judah looked one another in the face at Bethshemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to their tents. And Jehoash king of Israel took Amaziah king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, at Bethshemesh, and came to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate 400 cubits.
Now, can you imagine? This king of Israel gave him warning, don't do this. Don't be proud. But he didn't listen. He went war with them, and Israeli people defeated Judah's king, took them captive, took all the silver and gold, and broken down their walls. And so, from this, we can learn something. If you defeating the enemies, God is giving you grace, don't be proud and go and start fighting with your own family people, because you are some big person. And this man even gave him warning. He said, don't do this, because we are stronger than you. He didn't listen. So what happened? Not only they were defeated, they had taken the silver and gold and broken down the walls. Let's read the verse 14. And they took all the vessels and everything from Judah to Samaria, Jerusalem to Samaria. Please read.
And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house and hostages and returned to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, which he did, and his might, and how he fought with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoash slept with his fathers, and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam his son reigned in his stead.
We already studied a little bit about Joash. This man went to see Prophet Elisha, and he said good about him. And the prophet told him, shoot the arrows, and then he shoot it only 3 times, and he said, you should have done it more time. Now you're going to defeat the Syrian people only 3 times. And you have seen this last time we studied. So this man defeated Syrian people 3 times. So the Israeli people had a good time. Then his son Jeroboam comes. Now, Jeroboam also was not an ordinary man. This Jeroboam was much more bigger warrior than his father. And he also defeated so many other countries and other people, and Israeli people had a good time financially. When the people had the good time financially, and they don't have God, they start worshiping idols and going away from God. But here we see Jehu was just the captain of Israeli armies. You know the story. And God blessed him and told him, destroy all these Ahab's family, including Jezebel and things like that. And he did a great job. God promised him, you did according to my will. I'm going to give you a chance. And your children's children for fourth generation, they will be kings in Israel. Verse 17.
And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish, and slew him there. And they brought him on horses, and he was buried at Jerusalem with his fathers in the city of David. And all the people of Judah took Azariah, which was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah.
But Amaziah was captive, taken to Israeli people. But Joash died. After that, he lived 15 years. I don't know how he ran from there. He went to Lachish. And so some of the people, doesn't say who killed him, but some people went there and killed him. Then his father was killed, and he killed his two servants. Then somebody goes and kills Amaziah also. And then they took him from there, brought it to the Jerusalem, and he was buried with his father. Verse 22.
He built Elath and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin.
Now, they are talking about the Jeroboam. The Jeroboam is the son of Joash. His grandfather's name is Jehu. And now, this man was a bad person, and they're comparing him to the other Jeroboam. The other Jeroboam is the first king of Israel. And so he made the calf, golden calf, two calves, and so the people were worshiping the golden calves. So here he's saying, this man did exactly what the other Jeroboam was doing, and he committed sin and inspired Israeli people to commit sin. Verse 25.
He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet which was of Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash.
Now here we see, time of Joash, his father prayed, if you remember, because Syrian people were destroying Israeli people. So he prayed to God, and Lord, save my people. And God used Joash, and Joash defeated Syrian people three times. Now again, these Syrian people are harassing. So now people might be praying again and asking God a deliverance. So now Jeroboam, God used, and Jeroboam defeated so many people. Let's finish this chapter, verse 28 and 29.
Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, and all that he did, and his might, how he warred, and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belonged to Judah, for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his stead.
Now, here we see this man defeated so many people, and some of the territory was under the Syrian people. He also defeated Syrians and took those lands, and he did a great job. But at the same time, Israeli people were not turned to God. Zechariah is the last person, I believe. Jehoash 1, Joash 2, Jeroboam 3, and Zechariah 4. So now four kings were promised. So now Zechariah is the fourth person. After Zechariah, then you will be seeing in the chapter 15, many people start killing each other, and the Israeli people, there was not a single good king like Jeroboam or Joash. The point I'm making, all total Israeli king were 19 kings. But from Jeroboam the first to Jeroboam the second and his son Zechariah, all kings were bad. Not a single king in Israel was a good king. And I was thinking, all this time, God even helped Jehu, God helped Joash, God helped Jeroboam, but not a single person turned to God. And all Israeli kings were bad kings. Okay, we are going to go to the chapter 15, starting from verse 1.
In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done.
Now, Amaziah is the king of Judah, and his son is Azariah. Now, Azariah is the name here, but another name for him is Uzziah. This man became a king, but when he was 16 years old. But the same time, we will be learning about him. Young age, they made him a king. But he did everything pleasing to God according to what Azariah, his father, and he lived a good life. But later on, he also became a little bit proud, we will be learning. Okay, verse 4.
Save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land.
In this chapter, says this king, Azariah, became a king when he was 16 years old. He did a very good job, like his father. And all of a sudden, we read that God gave him leprosy, and then he was removed from his kingdom. So this chapter doesn't tell you how he got the leprosy, why he got the leprosy. Let's go to the 2 Chronicles chapter 26, starting from verse 16 to 21.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense.
See, when he became strong, means he was very good warrior, he was good, very good man, he started working hard, and he did so many good things, but one time he thought, hey, I can do anything. Maybe he thought God is pleased with me. Sometime he had maybe had a good intention. So he says, I'm going to go to the temple and I'm going to put the incense and worship the Lord. And he maybe had a good intention, go and thank God what God has done. But according to the word of God, king has his job, priest has his job, and prophet has his job. King cannot go and start doing prophet job, or king cannot go and start doing the priest's job. Each and every person has their different jobs. Jesus Christ is the only one. He came as a prophet, and now he's a priest in heaven, and he's coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has given us the same authority. We can be priests, we can be kings, and we can be prophet. But in those days, they did not have that kind of privilege. Let's read the verse 17.
And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated, to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land.
Now, can you imagine? Good king. He was king up to 52 years. If he didn't do this kind of rebellious, going to the temple and doing the priest job, priest came and warned him, don't do it. But he didn't listen, and then he became leper, and then they had to drag him to the, didn't send him to a leper colony, but maybe they put a king's, some house built for him, separate somewhere, and he was giving advice to his son. This man lived 52 years, he was king. But the point I'm making, this man, a good man, did very good things, but only one simple thing he did, going to the temple and putting the incense or doing the worship in the temple without God's permission. Some people thinking it's nothing wrong. He was doing good thing. He didn't harm anybody. He didn't kill anybody. But he was just worshiping God. Why God zap him like that? Because in those days there was a rule. You are a king or whoever you are, you have to listen to the word of God. You have to obey the word of God. Otherwise you will be punished. Now today people do anything and they think we are not going to get punished, and they commit sin one after another, and they are having calluses, and they think nothing is happening. In the Old Testament, people got zapped right away. Why God is not killing us when we disobey God? Why? Because we are in a grace period. But that doesn't mean you keep on committing sin and there will be no end. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, it says, God has appointed a day, once to die, after that the judgment. So doesn't matter if the police doesn't catch you today, or nobody arrests you today, and you die like in a natural death, and in your funeral day everybody comes and says a great man or great woman, and they celebrate and everything. But God has already recorded everything, what you have done, because there is the day of judgment is coming. Now the people are thinking, when the judgment is coming, the sinner dies, right away he goes to hell. That hell is not the lake of fire. That hell is just like if the person is a murderer, so they keep him in chain in some place for the right kind of judgment, and then they go for death penalty. Until then, they are put in some prison. The same way, when the person commits sin today, they have a place underground somewhere. We can see the Lazarus died, and the word of God says the angel came and took him to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man died, and they buried him. But as soon as they buried him, he went to Sheol, where the dead people are there. The sinner died. They go to lower part of the earth. And the righteous people died. They go to the same lower part, but they are a little bit higher than the other lower part, and there was a gulf in between, so they cannot go down or they cannot come up. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and then he went, the Word of God says, Book of Ephesians, if you read, it says he went to the lower part of the earth. Why he went? To redeem those people and set those captive free. Those righteous people were just like sitting there waiting for their timing. So Jesus Christ goes, preached to this good news to these people, and carried them up to heaven. And where did they keep them? Because he promised the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. So he took these righteous souls, redeemed them, set them captive free, and took it to the paradise, or took it to the heavenly places. Now, today is not my subject, talk about heaven, but heaven is not a small place. Many people get mixed up. They said everybody is going to paradise. Catholic people think you go to purgatory first, because when the Lazarus was there, they might be thinking that's a purgatory, and then Lazarus was taken up to heaven, to paradise. That's what they're thinking. When we pray, God will change people from purgatory to paradise, but there is no purgatory written in the Bible. Those people were in the lower part of the earth. Those people were redeemed, or what do you call, set free captive, but the other people are still there. That's a rich man still waiting there for the judgment. But when Jesus Christ came, after keeping those people, you remember, he came out of the grave. Mary Magdalene was waiting for him, and she wanted to cling him. He said, don't touch me. I did not go to my Father yet. So what happened? He goes to his father. At that time, these people from lower part of the earth were taken to heaven. And then he comes back. Jesus Christ kept all these righteous people in the paradise, including the thief on the cross. So the thief is in the paradise. Now in heaven, there are places called the heaven, where the Father lives. There is the thrones, and all the elders and all these angels are worshiping him. There is a throne, and Jesus Christ, after death, if you read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 or Hebrews chapter 1, he says he lifted up and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. So there is a throne, Father has the throne, and Son is sitting beside him. At the same time, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So that means Father's house, where is the Father's house? Father's house is the regular, original heaven. There is the Father lives. There is the temple. And then Jesus says, in that Father's house, there are many mansions, means many houses. So all the Old Testament people will be living in those mansions. We are not living in those old mansions where the Father already has. So what happened? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So what he's doing now, he is preparing a New Jerusalem. Now, New Jerusalem is not a small place. New Jerusalem is a big, huge city. It's not a house, or it's not a mansion. It's a city. And then city has a wall all around and the 12 gates. So that is the new place Jesus Christ is going to make. So now the temple in the original heaven, that temple doesn't disappear. But when you come to the Revelation chapter 21, it says, we did not see the temple in New Jerusalem. So the people think temple is disappeared. temple doesn't disappear. Why? Because he said Jesus Christ is the high priest for eternity. His high priest job will be there. So he goes to the temple to show that he is a high priest, and we going with him as a priest. When we come back to the New Jerusalem, there the Jesus Christ will be sitting, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we will sitting beside him. And then there is another place called New Earth. Big place. You have to read Revelation chapter 21. And there we see there are people in that New Earth. Who are those people? They said saved nations will be there. And the saved nations people were there. So now you say saved nations are here. Jerusalem is here. A temple is here. And so there is a huge, huge, big place. So now what happens in there says, in the new earth, the kings of the earth will bring their glory in the new Jerusalem where Jesus Christ is. But ordinary people will not be able to go in the New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is for the bride. But the bride has freedom. Bride can go to the new nations people are living. Bride can go to paradise. Bride can go to temple. Bride has no restriction. But the thief has a restriction. Thief cannot go to New Jerusalem. Somebody says, how come? Read the St. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. You will know. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be just born again. But if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So the saved people, ordinary saved people, they will be in paradise. Paradise is not an ordinary place, because paradise is the heavenly garden. Just like on earth, there was a paradise. So the Adam and Eve lived in paradise. They didn't have any problem. So the heavenly paradise, if a thief leaves, he will not be complaining. He will be able to see God. He will be able to worship. He will be able to see New Jerusalem. But he cannot get into the New Jerusalem because he is not the bride. But that was not my subject. But the point I was making here, God has given us freedom to be priest, to be kings, and to be a prophet. But that was not a privilege to the king Azariah. He thought, I'll go and worship the Lord myself. Why I have to tell the priest? Now he is a great man. He did so many great things. So he thought he got some little bit pride, and that's why he went, and then he got leprosy. And he was kept outside the city, some other room. Back to the 2 Kings, chapter 15, verse 6.
And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah the son of Jeroboam reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin.
Now, this is Zechariah. Zechariah is the son of Jeroboam. And Jeroboam became king, and he was king in Israel for 41 years. But his son, Zechariah, lived only 6 months as a king. So can you imagine? Jehu was a great man. Then God told him, 4 generations only, I'll let you, your people, be kings. Now this is Zechariah, is the 4th generation. But he did not get chance to be king so long, because he lived only 6 months as a king, and somebody kills him. We'll be reading later on, verse 9.
And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him, and smote him before the people, and slew him, and reigned in his stead.
They say, Shallum, the son of Jabesh. Now, this man was not a king. He might be some kind of military officer or somebody. He killed Zechariah and became a king. Verse 11.
And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. This was the word of the Lord which he spake unto Jehu, saying, Thy sons shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation. And so it came to pass.
Now see, the word of God is very clear. As soon as Zechariah died, the word of God said, this is what the promise God did. Your fourth generation, your children, or children's children, this was a great, great grandson of Jehu. And now, promise was fulfilled, and all his four generation finished, and now another king comes, that king killed Zechariah and became a king. Verse 13.
Shallum the son of Jabesh began to reign in the 930th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria.
Here, up to now, we read Azariah the king, and all of a sudden, verse 13 say, Uzziah the king of Judah. From that you know, Azariah, his another name is Uzza, and he was the king, and at that particular time, this Shallum was the king. Verse 14.
For Menahem the son of Gadai went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and smote Shallum the son of Jabesh in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead.
Now, this Shallum was a king. Then Menahem comes, kills him, and become a king. So each person is power hungry, and one after another, people start killing their own kings. Verse 15.
And the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Then Menahem smote Tiphsah and all that were therein, and the coasts thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. In the 930th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadai, to reign over Israel, and reigned 10 years in Samaria.
Now, this king was very wicked king. Verse 18.
And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Paul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Paul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land.
Now, in time of Menahem, the king of Syria comes to attack them. Now, these people learn one thing. Give the money to the enemies, and their mouth will be shut. So what he does, he said, I'm giving you 10,000 of shekels of silver or gold to you, and you go away. So what he does, he goes to the rich Israeli people and tell everybody has to give 50 shekels of silver or gold and gather the money and give it to the Syrian king and say, please go away. And he left. And that's the way they protect themselves. Verse 21.
And the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah his son reigned in his stead.
Now, here only we see Menahem lived, he lived and did good service to the Israeli people 10 years or so, and then his son, Pekahiah, became a king. Verse 23.
In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 2 years.
Now he reigned only 2 years, and now again is Azariah, the king of Judah, Uzziah, the king of Judah. So they interchangeably changed the name for Azariah to Uzza. And Pekahiah, the Menahem's son reign only 2 years in Israel. Verse 24.
And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin.
All the time you read, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, this is the first king of Israel. And he did evil thing. So each time any king does evil thing, they will say, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, committed sin, and all other people followed him. Verse 25.
But Pekah the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria, in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Ariah, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and reigned in his room. And the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah the son of Remaliah began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon, and Abel-Beth-Makkah, and Genoa, and Kadesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him, and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham the son of Uzziah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah, and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 2nd year of Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin the king of Syria and Pekah the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead.
Now here we see, one after another king were killed, and Syrian people came and start taking Israeli people hostage. After Menahem, Pekah, and Pekah, then came Pekah, that was the last king, and then comes name Hoshea. Hoshea is the last king of Israel, and that time the enemy comes from Syria and kidnapped these people and took them hostage. And Jotham is the son of Azariah, who got the leprosy, and Jotham also did lots of good things, and then comes the king Ahaz. Now Ahaz is the bad king in Judah. I found out 20 kings of Judah. Out of 20 kings, there were maybe 11 good kings and 9 bad kings. Israel has 19 kings, and all of them were bad kings, killing one after another person, coming and killing and destroying. There is nothing to learn, only one thing to learn, that if you do evil things, your end will be cut short. If you do good things, God will give you grace. Now, I was thinking that Uzziah was a good king. 52 years he was king. Even though he got a leprosy, he was telling Jotham, his son, how to rule the. And then Jotham became a good man because his father was good. But after Jotham, we'll be learning next week, Ahaz will be the bad king. Always God gives you chances to repent. Always God gives you chance to turn around. But the time of the kings of Israel, they never turn around. They never repented. And God still kept on his promising, and God still said, I am going to bring the greater king, and that the king, Jesus Christ. And now we are waiting for him to come to establish his kingdom. But when King Jesus comes, there will be no other king. He will be ruling for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, many Christians says, we will be living on this earth. But I don't believe, because Jesus Christ says, so many mansions are there, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I come, I will take you wherever I am. So I believe after this millennium kingdom, we will be going to eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ. So we have a great hope. This is we are just studying. The Word of God says we study this thing, so we will be not doing the things what they did. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to live in the grace period. And your word says, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are passed from death unto life and no condemnation. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for supplying our needs. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for giving us grace. You came and took our sickness, disease on the cross, and with your stripes, we are healed. If there is anyone standing or sitting in this hall, and they have some pain or sickness or disease or any kinds of deformity or any kinds of pain and suffering, I pray that each and every person will call upon Jesus Christ and say, Lord, touch me and heal me. Please forgive all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. And I want to be completely whole. Thank you, Jesus, for touching your people. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.